Bola Rock.
It's Saturday morning. Time for Green Country Gardener. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank, Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overlays Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass. And a good Saturday morning to you. This is Green Country Gardener and Larry Glass over at the other microphone. Good morning, sir.
Emerald thumb.
Emerald thumb, yes.
How about purple?
Cold well, as it that, is out there. Have you been hitting it with a hammer recently?
No, it's cold out there recently. It is cold and it is dry.
Yes, it is.
I've had a lot of customers concerned about their plants.
With good reason as far as the moisture is concerned.
You bet indeed. And they have some of them have actively taken apart and watering their plants mm-hmm. to ensure that they will survive this dry spell.
Okay.
I did, however, look at the charts.
Yes.
And we're right at normal for precipitation for this year.
I'm going to say we typically don't get a lot in January and February, as in, no. You know, we're talking about, if we're lucky, half an inch in the month.
Right. I think we're at like 0.26 or something like that. And it's just, if you follow the average line on, I don't know if you got that link I sent you.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
And it pops it up and shows you. Where we stand as far as above average, below average, or normal. And we're right in the normal line, so.
Okay.
Oh, well.
Yeah. We're live on Facebook again for Green Country Gardener. Just trying it out on our KWON Facebook page. If you want to join us there, we can be part of the conversation there. We probably won't take your questions via Facebook yet. Let's take this one step at a time. But we are live on Facebook as well.
All right. Despite the lack of precipitation and weather, a lot goes on this month.
Okay. What goes on this
spring
month?
Spring is just around the corner.
Yes, it is.
Spring
training baseball starts in a little over 2 weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
Spring training baseball, and also get time to get the chainsaw warmed up and ready to go.
Okay.
Kind of Kevin would like that.
Yes, he would.
But anyway, it's getting time to get those, to cut back a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll talk about that a little bit later as later goes on. It is time, however, to prune your trees and your shrubs.
Okay.
Fruit trees especially. I gave mine a good cutting back. And you're able to see the branching structure more clearly without the leaves on it. And I did go ahead and trim back my plum trees. I had one that was really all just strange.
Oh.
And I cut it back pretty bad. Poor thing. However, it's going to come back.
There. Well, sure.
They're good growers. And I did an inspection for borers and found a few problems here and there.
Really?
So I'll address those after the, you know, when the time is right.
Okay. Takes a sharp knife with that one.
Yep. Dug out a few of them, too, the pocket knife.
Doesn't surprise me a bit. You want to take a look and see what species of borer you've got.
Exactly. So they're doing just fine despite that. And there's some good healing where there's some former borer damage done. So it's a little hard to detect.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at a house this week that had a redbud tree that's been in there for 30 years. And actually, the part of the tree has died off, and the wood on that part of the tree looks a bit like Swiss cheese. It's been eaten up so bad with borers.
Okay. That's serious damage.
So we're going to go in and prepare the soil around it to try to enhance its root growth a little bit, give it a little bit more nutrients, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and separate it from the lawn with the border, and then plant some ground covers and put lots of mulch on.
Okay.
And give stern instructions on how to water it. It should make a comeback.
Stern instructions, okay.
You bet. A redbud tree typically will last about 45 years, so they got a good 15 years to go on it. So,
mm-hmm.
But it the way it looks, might not make it.
That's not good.
Or you can maybe hope for a lightning strike. That would probably... anyway.
When does it become evident that you say this tree is not going to make it, and it's if you happen to find yourself in the proper time to go down to the nursery and just pick out a new one and replace it, when, at what point do you say this tree is not worth saving?
Well, this particular tree was just about at that point.
I mean,
there's a lot of it was just broken down and rotted away, but there's still some living growth on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it does have a chance with some pruning. It can look pretty nice. So it's not too late for this one in particular.
Okay.
However, redbud trees, like a lot of other trees, have a finite lifespan
mm-hmm.
where they get so big they just can't tolerate predatory insects and things, and it gives in, and then you got little redbuds coming up all over the place to take its place. So on this particular one, it was a decision point between keeping it and pulling it out, putting in a new one, and mm-hmm. we decided, well, let's keep it a little longer, but trim it up and
Okay.
And make it look a little tidier, and perhaps it'll last longer. So that's the course we're going to take. So anyway, that stemmed off time to prune things back.
Sure.
It's still a little bit early to do a lot of things, and especially Nandinas. I like to wait a little bit of time, because the dwarf Nandinas especially are exhibiting a lot of good color right now.
Mm-hmm.
And by cutting them back, you're going to lose that for a rather lengthy time frame. And I don't like to trim back the Nandinas until they begin to grow. And it typically is not until April.
Okay.
So just hang on to those. Things like boxwoods can be cut back shortly. Yopan hollies especially. I see a lot of them that are way too big in town.
I know you tend to schedule some of your instructions on when to do things on a yearly basis around holidays, because they're easy to remember. Exactly. Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, that sort of thing.
St. Valentine's Day Massacre, the St. Patrick's Day Crabgrass Massacre, you know, that kind of thing. So, it's getting time to do that. So be prepared.
Okay.
Get those pruning shears ready, or get some pruning shears, and go ahead and trim back. A lot of plants you can trim without harming them. Mm-hmm. Some plants you can trim with harming them, and especially members of the pine family, such as your Mughal pines. If you trim them back rather sternly, you can cause a rather major setback. We have a caller.
We do have a caller. Good morning. You're first up on Green Country Gardener this morning. What can we do for you today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a pistache tree that looks, well, it's pretty much full grown.
Right.
It looks pretty healthy, except that the trunk, the bark is loose and coming off, at least on the west side.
Yes.
Is this normal for a pistache tree, or should I be concerned about it?
It's normal for the bark to exfoliate on the pistache tree, but it is not normal for it to exfoliate on a specific side, especially the west side. Typically, borers will attack the west side of a tree, and the pistache trees are susceptible to borers. So you might do a little exploratory and see what's going on. Look for bleeding, and look for little streams of dried up sap coming out in places on that portion of the tree.
Okay.
So, but the fact that it's exfoliating is normal, but the fact that it's exfoliating on the west side is not normal, and to me that indicates you might have an issue with some borers. Now, pistache trees are susceptible. To a point with from borers.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah, check it out. That's probably what we need to do, is just dig around a little bit. Pulling off the peeling bark won't hurt it any, because it's not doing any insulation on it, and then you can see what's going on down there. And then there are some
borers are attacking. Would I find some holes in the tree?
Yeah.
And how far up should I be looking?
Anywhere on the on that side of the tree, just anywhere on the trunk. So.
Very good.
All right. Thank you.
Borers usually crawl up from the ground, so they would be, he's more likely to say it, let's say, at the 2 feet, 3 feet, 4 feet level than at 7 or 8 feet, right?
Not necessarily.
Oh, okay.
They crawl up and they look for imperfections in the trunk. And a lot of them are down there due to weed whackers and things. A lot of them are down really low.
Yeah.
So they could come in from the bottom and work their way up and cause fissures and leakages as they go up. Because this last summer was rather moist.
Yes.
And we had a lot of rapid growth on some trees. And people have called at the nursery with questions about their bark falling off.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, it's due to something, you know, a lot of things. And it more than likely it's due to just the rapid growth from the extra moisture we had this last spring. And the bark just doesn't expand as fast as the wood grows, and it pops off.
Okay.
Redbud trees exhibited a lot of that this year, too. And some of the maples and some of the oaks had some exfoliating bark that looks a little alarming. I remember years ago, back in the late 80s, we had a really nice wet spring. And people's pin oak trees grew like crazy.
Wow.
The conditions were just right. I guess it was warm and whatnot, and plenty of moisture. And bark was just sloughing off like crazy. And I'd go to their house, and there's nothing to worry about. You could see where the cracks were. There was orange-looking phloem layers down below there, and I said, this is normal. It's just rapid growth. Sometimes even the wood will tend to crack a little bit from rapid growth, and they heal up very quickly, and no problems after the spring progressed.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So Just like tomatoes that grow rapidly, the trees do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, when conditions are good, they take advantage of it. I don't blame them.
I don't blame them either. 800-749-5936. It's a telephone number that gets you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Listener Participation Radio, we've had our first caller, and you could be the second. We'll take a short break and load up the phone lines. 800-749-5936.
Talking with Brent at United Rentals, you've got yard fencing augers, you've got lawn aerators, sod cutters, seriously? You've got that kind of stuff there?
Yep, sure do. Use a sod cutter if you need to move some sod from your backyard and move it. We've got the lawn aerator, help your lawn out, and a lot of people are putting in their own fence, and you need the auger to drill your post holes, and in this country there's a lot of rocks, so you need the jackhammer to get through the rock to get your post set. 3801 Southeast Nowata Road, 918-333-9580.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has a great selection of plants for inside and outside the home. Fill your home with vibrant houseplants, cactus, hanging plants, and more. Come by Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road and check out Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, winter hours, Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 4.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-333-4420.
Talking with customers at Gusher Car Wash. A lot of places to wash your car around the area. Any particular reason you chose a Gusher?
I find it very convenient. You just pull in, wash your bumper off, ride through, and vacuum your car.
Obviously, the shine that I see on your vehicle, you must have chosen the Super Duper Wash.
I chose the $7 wash.
So you're pretty happy with that one?
Oh, I'm very happy. I wouldn't go anywhere but the Gusher.
Gusher Car Wash, one block south of Price Road on Highway 75 across from Aldi's. Come for the great wash, stay for the free vacuum.
800-749-5936, a telephone number that gets you on the air on Tech Talk on a Saturday morning. Phone lines are open right now, and Larry Glass in to answer your garden questions. And, of course, we're streaming live on Facebook, on the KWON Facebook site. If you'd like to see, I know we've got a couple of people that have joined us on Facebook already. And 800-749-5936, the telephone number that gets you on the air with Larry Glass this morning. What should we be doing? We were talking about trimming and evaluating things already. So not necessarily today, because it might be too chilly for the gardener at 20 degrees right now, but
no, but it was rather warm this week, and I did get my onions out.
Yeah,
so it's time to get your onions planted.
Okay.
So that's one thing you can do in the garden.
You could do that.
It'll soon be time to plant peas. Peas are cool season crops. You can get a mess of peas easily by the time it gets hot, maybe even two actually.
Okay.
So that's coming up real soon, if not right now. This 23 degrees does not seem very inviting for 20 right now. Good God.
Yeah, it dropped a couple of degrees, I think, since we've started talking.
Oh, thank you, Charlie. I just poured concrete yesterday.
Well,
it'll be all right.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine. But anyway, cool season crops. It's almost time for seed potatoes to get those in the ground, if you have the good soil for that.
Okay.
They don't do well in poorly drained soil. I tried potatoes in my yard, and I got little bit pretty good though, but little tiny potatoes,
not the big bakers, but you got some.
Well, you had about five plants. You got the equivalent of one potato.
Okay.
Soil just too heavy where I am, and not much. So I tried other things. I think the onions would do pretty well. I like fresh onions and the eggs. It's really good. Mm-hmm. So vegetable gardens, yes, time to get ready. The soil in your vegetable garden should be real easy to work. All I had to do was take a shovel and just basically draw a line down the middle of it, put the onion sets in, and just pack it. It was real soft. Really easy. Remember what I said last fall about in October about turning the soil, leaving it rough.
Yes.
And let the ice and freezing and thawing do its job on the soil. Well, it did. It worked.
Okay.
So that's ready to go. Can't wait for tomatoes. And it's time to start thinking about getting tomatoes also. Also time to start thinking about fruit trees. If you want to plant some fruit trees, typically they're shipped out in March. About the middle of March is when they start shipping them out, and you want to get those ordered, especially the bare root ones. You want to make sure you got your orders in for those. Places like Stark Brothers and whatnot, it'd be time to get your orders in and before they run out, for one thing, and then secondarily, you don't want to wait till it's too late.
No, so we'll stop by someplace like Green Thumb Nursery and talk to you or Gary.
Yeah,
and
we draw from several suppliers, and chances are we can get maybe what you want. We've got lists of what's available.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps we can get some.
Okay.
But still, container trees can be planted any time, actually. There's no time frame when you can and cannot plant a container tree.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't plant them when the ground's frozen. You can't get it in there.
Not conducive to digging holes, that's for sure.
Exactly. But speaking of trees, now is the time to plant trees in the landscape. And you always want to dig a hole larger than you want to. Generally, it's twice the width of the root ball or container on which the tree was sold. So if it's in a container that's 12 inches apart, you want to dig a 2-foot wide hole.
And that's kind of a bowl-shaped hole as opposed to going straight down in a cylinder?
A bowl-shaped hole is a good rule of thumb.
Okay.
But if you really don't want to do that, and your soil drains real well, you don't have to do that. So, but typically, that's what we do when we install trees.
Okay.
Dig a rather large hole, and sometimes when I'm with the crew, I have to kind of egg them along. That hole's not big enough.
They just must really love having you around.
Yes and no.
Yes.
They can learn a few things, but then again, if Gretchen doing something wrong, it's corrected.
On the spot.
Yes. Yeah. It's a learning process.
Sure it is. I've
been doing this for 40 years, and my employees aren't even that old. So anyway, they learn pretty quickly, too.
Yep.
They're good people. So trees, also with shrubs, most shrubs can be planted right now and transplanted now too. We've done some transplanting this spring, moving trees and shrubs from one place to another in the yard.
Okay.
I was at a house yesterday where I had to do an irrigation repair, and there was a tree that I transplanted last spring, summer I think it was. And it survived okay, good healthy buds on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come out, it's a dogwood tree. And so it's doing rather nicely. So, but now is a very good time to move things. I've got a lace cap. Hydrangea I need to move to a different part of the yard. It's just not happy where it is. It never has been, so I'll find another place.
So find it, yeah, not enough light or too much light?
The moisture content was, in that particular part of the yard, the soil is extraordinarily shallow, and I do have some competing plants around it. Yeah, try saying that twice, yeah. Right.
No.
Some of the plants competing for moisture, like some water oaks and a variegated privet and some other things that... for screening purposes, and they're drawing a lot of moisture, so it's not happy there. So I'm going to move it to the north side of the yard where it'll get some shade and more sun, more moisture.
Okay.
So that's going to happen. If it weren't so cold today, it probably would have happened today. So it'll happen soon. So that's kind of deal with trees and shrubs at the nursery. The greenhouse, geraniums. Let me get it out. The geraniums are in the greenhouse right now. We brought them up from out back, and typically we spring them up in the greenhouse, in the retail greenhouse, because we keep it a little warmer than the wholesale greenhouse. And they're blooming right now. If you want to see some spring flowers, they're in bloom right now.
Stop by. Take a look at them and then take them home and put them in the ground.
No.
No,
not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah,
too cold.
About the middle of April, you want to do that. So, unless you want, you buy a dozen of them, plant them. Sure, we'll sell you some more and some more.
Customer's always right. We'll sell them to you if you want them.
Sell them to you if you want them. So then we do have a wide variety of house plants, and one thing that's coming up pretty big are succulent plants. They're very low maintenance plants. We'll have a lot of succulents available later on. We have a bunch of them available now. They make great house plants because they're very low demand as far as water is concerned and care is concerned. They have very few, if any, pests at all. So they're very easy house plants. You can have a little miniature desert garden on the windowsill, and it looks really kind of nice.
It is.
So we have several varieties of succulents. So you look at those too. We've got some new garden. Yard art, if you will.
Okay.
So it looks real pretty. Good color in the yard. Got some of that coming in too. And the wind chimes, of course.
Always a nice addition.
So, and some weird stuff, too. So just have to come by and look at it.
And we came by to see the weird stuff.
Okay. Yeah, some weird stuff, too. So in the garden now, it'll be time for heavy pruning on hollies and yews, nandinas, and liriope monkey grass. A lot of people ask me, is it time to cut back the monkey grass? And I say no.
Yeah.
We could still have a zinger come in and set it back quite a bit. So you want to wait a little while to cut your monkey grass. Just that extra layer of insulation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very hardy plant, but it only go to a point. We get another 0 degree weather without all that blanket of protection on top. It could thin it out at least and lose part of it. And you'll suffer some, an unbalanced border. Say if you've got a liriope border along the sidewalk or driveway or something.
Yeah.
And you whack it back real good right now, and some of it freezes out. You'll have empty spaces in it. So you really want to wait probably another month at least to cut that stuff back.
Okay. Save that one for St. Patrick's Day.
Right. Same with maiden grass, especially the same with pampas grass. Pampas grass is a zone 6 plant. We're 6.5 to 7 here, which I think we had probably 5.5 to 6 winter so far. Mm-hmm. And some people probably lose some of their pampas grass. But if you still have the tops on it, don't cut it off yet. That's just that much more protection for the pampas grass. So kind of leave it alone right now at this point.
Sounds good. 800-749-5936, the telephone number to get to you on the air on Green Country Gardener. We'll take your calls right after these words, and we will continue. 800-749-5936.
When it comes to banking, it can be hard to find a place where you feel like more than just a number. At American Heritage Bank, we combine over 110 years of experience with the highest quality of customer service to give you an unparalleled banking experience. Stop by one of our convenient locations or visit us at ahb-ok.com to experience the difference. American Heritage Bank, member FDIC.
If your yard is not flourishing, consider this. Talk to the experts at Enterprise Sod Store. They will tell you that sod is the answer to an instant yard and is mostly weed-free. Enterprise Sod has 3 kinds of sod, Bermuda, Zoysia, and Fescue. They'll pick up and deliver your sod and train you how to install and care for your sod. If you're a current or new homeowner or a landscaper or contractor, call the sod experts at Enterprise Sod Store 918-333-6888. Stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Want the best buying experience on a new, used, or pre-owned vehicle, along with great customer service? Then head to Bartlesville CDJ. Hi, I'm Angela Blackard, and if you're experiencing vehicle troubles, here at Bartlesville CDJ, we try to make it easy. We have factory-trained, certified technicians, 2-year warranty on parts and labor, we have a shuttle service and alternate transportation program, and don't forget about our oil change package, 3 for $95. We serve all makes and models. Come see me, Angela Blackard, at Bartlesville CDJ, South 75 in Bartlesville.
Make sure you plan a trip to Peter's True Value in Dewey for all of your project needs. Right now, a DeWalt 7.25-inch circular saw blade is only $4.99. This 24-tooth, tough tungsten carbide tip blade has an anti-stick rim to reduce friction and gum up. An ultra-thin curve results in smoother cuts. Check out this great bargain of the month along with other project essentials. While supplies last, Peter's True Value in Dewey. Behind every project is a true value.
The telephone number that gets you on Green Country Gardener on a Saturday morning. Larry Glass in to answer your questions. And phone lines are open right now if you'd like to give us a call and get your garden question answered.
Right. Another thing you might want to consider doing is, in light of the onslaught of weeds coming on pretty soon,
yes,
is to get those beds mulched real good.
Already?
Yes. Because when it warms up, the spring weeds are just going to come up real bad.
But if you've got 2.5 inches of mulch there, they won't.
Yeah, typically it does do a lot of suppression, and I've done some experimenting in my yard by mulching areas and non-mulching areas, and there's a big difference. So what I said earlier about using leaves that are shredded up as a mulch, it was very, very effective in controlling weeds. So I furthered that experiment this year in another area of the yard that has some mulberry weed in it.
Oh.
Mulberry weed's a real pest.
Oh, yeah. So. We do have a call, and we'll say good morning, caller. You're next up on Green Country Gardener. What can we do for you this morning?
Hi, I'm trying to get my calendar planned, and I have a rose bush I'm wanting to transplant. About what time should I start thinking about doing that?
Well, as soon as possible.
Ooh, okay.
Uh-huh. So I think the weather's supposed to be good this week, so you might maybe put a Wednesday on that.
I would say Tuesday 54, Wednesday 66, yep. Thursday 60. So I'd say Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, if you have the time, should be a good day.
All right.
But right now,
another question.
Okay.
Go ahead and tell me about the rose. How should I plant it? All that kind of stuff.
Right now on the rose that you're going to transplant, I would water it as soon as possible because the ground is relatively dry and the soil will tend to fall apart on the root mass because it's so dry. So go ahead and water it, make it feel real good. And it'll be easier to transplant. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. And then the other thing is my mums, of course, are dead in the flower bed, but I know they'll come back up. So when do I cut them down, the old leftover stuff down to the ground? When do I do that?
Okay, mums are extraordinarily hardy. So as far as that's concerned, you can do that about any time. But there are some other plants in the yard that you really don't want to do that because, especially your ornamental grasses.
I don't think I have any of those. I have mums.
Okay.
Coreopsis.
Okay. Yeah, Coreopsis is fine. It's real hardy too. So, go ahead and you can cut those back anytime.
Okay, because I'm a calendar, I'll be sure to do that. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much for the phone call. 800-749-5936, the telephone number to call. And a couple of folks are joining us on our Facebook, on the KWON Facebook page. Always happy to stay with us here. And, of course, we take your phone calls. Listener participation radio, that's what makes the world go around, at least for this hour anyway.
Right. So just a little bit away from that, but we can do a little bit of planning right now. You might consider having a landscape plan done. That's something we offer to our customers, is a landscape plan, and it's a bit more thorough than you might expect.
Well,
people are really surprised.
I've seen your plans. You brought them in. You kind of walked me through with your computer here over the air. We tried to take the listeners through a landscape plan as best you can on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a total 3D look at a comprehensive plan, whether I want to do it in phases, year one, year two, year three, or whether I ask you to bring the crew in and plant it all for me all at the same time.
Yeah, there's different things you can do in your yard. I did a French drain design for somebody, and he was able to see what it would look like on his plot. And you have to make everything clear to people. It has to be very clear as far as them able to understand what your intentions are.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, there's no surprises. And we don't go begging for more money after a project because we covered all the bases.
We have a caller. Whether we've covered all the bases or not, we'll get back to landscape plans. Good morning, caller. You're next up on the air. What can we do for you today?
Yes, I was wanting to know about what to do about twig girdlers on pecan trees. We keep picking them up and burning them.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to affect their population.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, you have to pick up the branches as soon as you possibly can. From what I've read and researched, there's not a whole lot more you can do about twig girdlers than just keeping the area around them, the trees cleaned up as the branches fall down.
And if the neighbors have them, you're going to get them?
You bet. So you might knock on the door and say, "Can I clean up your backyard for you?"
You could opportunity to really be a good neighbor.
But really, it's a tough one to control because they don't really stay in one place a long period of time. So,
okay.
Good luck on that.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you for calling.
That's rough when you say you got them and you're going to keep them for a while. Good morning, caller. Okay, that caller didn't stick around here, but again, lines are open right now if you'd like to give us a call for Green Country Gardener, and we'll take your calls. This one coming in. Good morning. You are next up on the air on Green Country Gardener. What can we do for you today?
Yes, I have two hydrangea plants, and they're planted on the north side. And one, they're planted right beside each other.
Right.
One blooms and one doesn't. And I was just wondering why, one doesn't bloom.
Why does this happen?
Why does this one bloom?
Go ahead.
The density and quality of the soil can vary rather dramatically, even in the smallest space available. So Typically, why a hydrangea doesn't bloom is comes from what's underground. So you might consider.
Uh-huh. Okay, now I have tried the Epsom salt, you know, in the ground.
Epsom salts.
You know, some people.
Yeah, Epsom salts adjusts the pH so the flowers will be blue, typically. But as far as what it does for the soil, it doesn't do anything for the soil other than change the pH.
Sounds like maybe deficient in phosphorus, among other things?
Yeah, you might consider going with maybe a more intensive fertilizer application, perhaps, too. On those.
Okay. Now, the one that blooms is a big round ball, you know, and the one that doesn't bloom is a flat.
A lace cap.
Real flat, you know.
Yeah, well, I have a lace cap. I've been in this house for 14 years, and it's bloomed once.
Oh, that's about like mine. Mine blooms twice.
And I've tried everything to get that thing to bloom.
Oh, okay.
And it just...
Alrighty, I appreciate your thoughts. Thank you.
Yeah, increase the fertilizer levels. And hydrangeas are very sensitive to being underwatered. So.
Okay. Well, I keep it pretty. I keep it damp. You know.
Right.
And the plant itself is really nice, big. It grows really good.
Oh yeah, they do great. And whenever it's dry, the thing just wilts like a bunch of laundry hanging on the line.
Yes.
A heavy mulch on top of that, and some shielding from the sun on a lace cap, and maybe boosting the Miracle-Grow a little bit on it. Perhaps you'll get some blooms out of it.
Okay.
But Lisa.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Yeah, at least a 3-inch layer of mulch.
Okay. Thank you very much. 3 inches of mulch on that one. But it sounds like lace cap is kind of random chance whether it's going to bloom or not.
Well, in Bartlesville, yes. If you put it in an area where the soil has a more volcanic base to it, you know, igneous parent material.
Okay.
As opposed to what we have around here, sedimentary rock, I think they'll do a lot better.
So at the foot of Mount St. Helens, they would do well, huh?
I guess so. If it can find some shade.
Well, there is that, too. 800-749-5936, the telephone number that gets you on the air. We will continue with your phone calls on the other side. Your comments and questions for Larry Glass, 800-749-5936.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has a great selection of plants for inside and outside the home. Fill your home with vibrant houseplants, cactus, hanging plants, and more. Come by Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on the Water Road and check out Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, winter hours, Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 4.
Computed tomography, MRI, and X-ray are radiology exams your doctor may order to uncover important information about your health. These exams are routine, but they may also cause you concern. Ease your fears by visiting radiologyinfo.org, where you can access over 230 easy-to-understand descriptions of radiology procedures, exams, and treatments. Find out what to expect and how to prepare by visiting radiologyinfo.org today. Produced by the Radiological Society of North America and the American College of Radiology.
I see it all the time. They leave early in the morning and come back very late.
The curtains. They're always closed. And there's so many people living in that house.
I know. They look scared all the time. It seems like he runs the show.
He's always talking for them.
Seems friendly enough, though.
I'm not even sure if it's the same people I saw last week.
This doesn't make any sense. We have to tell someone. We need to report this.
Modern-day slavery is happening in our own backyard. Know the signs and join the Blue Campaign in the fight to end human trafficking. Call 1-866-347-2423 or go to www.dhs.gov/bluecampaign for more information.
(800) 749-5936, the telephone number that gets you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. It's still a pleasant, if I can use that word, 20 degrees here at our broadcast studios, but whatever the temperature is around wherever you're at this morning, it's going to be a chilly day. We're only going to make it the mid to upper 20s.
Yeah, it's time to go through the seed catalogs, too. I get some of those.
And sure.
I really like to go. And I got a perennial catalog.
Well, I got the burping catalog came in the mail last week, so yeah.
Oh, fun. Yeah. And tomatoes, there's really not a lot you can do outside right now for tomato preparation. But you might, if your soil is a little heavy and your tomatoes just really haven't done any good, you might consider investing in some compost.
At my house, we're still enjoying the amaryllises that I got the bulbs back in the early part of December. They're cool. Continuing to bloom.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The poinsettia that we brought home from Green Thumb Nursery is still doing well in the front window. So
still alive, doing very well. Good show.
Yeah.
So tomatoes is one thing on people's mind in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Even pumpkins. Remember last week we had the pumpkin group over?
Yeah.
They're going to
get back with us probably another month to 6 weeks, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you can think about getting the ground ready for that and finding a spot for that. Do a little planning.
Okay.
I know it's on an area that's maybe 40 by 40 feet. What kind of planning do you need to do?
Right? This is not something you're going to use in a container garden.
But anyway, you want to make sure that if you do want to do a pumpkin patch that mm-hmm. you've got the room for it.
Yes.
So that's one thing to consider also. And roses, people really want the roses, the beautiful roses.
Anything new on the rose front this year?
Not a whole lot.
Okay.
We are emphasizing a lot of the drift roses
mm-hmm.
because they're perfect size for the garden. They don't get so big. And they stay pretty well, you know, in bounds as far as the size of the rose is concerned in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a very little care to them. So if you want to grow some roses, you might consider a drift rose. Now, they don't have the big blooms that you get from the hybrid
teas. But they tend to bloom just about all summer.
They're what you would call a shrub rose.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they bloom for a long period of time throughout the summer. And so they're a shrub rose, if you will. The knockout rose is good. But it's beginning to wear out its welcome a little bit. People want something else.
Gee, okay.
Yeah. We had some whiteout roses. Last year they sold pretty well,
mm-hmm.
which is a kind of a white version of the knockout rose, and it did pretty well.
Okay.
And there's a yellow one. It's pretty when it comes out, but it has a little difficulty maintaining its yellow color throughout mm-hmm. you know, the heat.
Right.
So it's an alternative. And there's a pink knockout rose also. So you can get them all different colors. You can get different colors of knockouts and have a different colored hedgerow, for instance.
Yeah, I think the Jackson Perkins catalog had an interesting almost peach colored rose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's the other, on the other side, besides the knockout rose, there's the Julia Child rose,
mm-hmm.
which is a yellow one. And it's just as tough as a knockout. And the advantage of these particular roses I've mentioned is that they're true to form from top to bottom. They're not grafted. So there's no graft incompatibility problems.
Mm-hmm.
And if it dies back real bad, or you can cut it back really low, it'll come back just fine with some heavy shearing on it, too. So.
Okay.
I did poor Julia. She got cut back last weekend real bad.
So. She apparently bled butter all over the place.
Yes. But it is doing fine. So there was a lot of stuff in there that really needed to come out. So,
okay.
Some corky tissue and some dead stuff, actually, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it did her some good. I might even move it to the other side of the house just so we can get better light from where it is now. Because the pistachio is starting to grow a little bigger and it's missing out on some afternoon shade.
Okay.
So I might move her, too. Along with the lace cap and the iris. Now, I've had really good luck this last fall, actually, with a twice-blooming iris.
Okay.
Good display of purple iris flowers in the fall. And I was really impressed with that. So iris are, they're coming along with those as far as having multi-season interest on the iris plants. The fall bloom of iris is really quite nice.
Mm-hmm.
And a customer of mine has some yellow ones and some pink ones and some that we planted for her, and they were quite pleased with the color in the fall.
That's always nice when you get something that you're not expecting, like that color in the fall from an iris.
Yeah, whoa. So anyway, that leads us kind of the tree of the week. Tree of the week.
Yes.
And that is it's a deciduous plant. It's fairly slow growing, medium texture. It's the paper bark maple.
Oh.
Acer grisium.
Interesting, okay.
And it has exfoliating bark, kind of like a birch tree.
Mm-hmm.
People really like birch trees.
Yeah.
Their appearance is somewhat architectural as far as the branching structure and the exfoliating bark is rather attractive. But they get too big.
They do get too big.
The lace bark maple doesn't, not lace bark, but paper bark maple doesn't get really that large as far as that's concerned. And it does have the interesting branching and the exfoliating bark.
How tall are we talking, like about 15 to 20 feet? Or?
20 feet or so, okay. 15, 20 feet wide. So that's not too big, really. So it's the flowers on it are non-showy. It does have a few fruits on it, some seeds. But it's not that bad. It's a cinnamon brown to reddish-orange exfoliating bark. Old bark is purple-brown. And the seedling varieties, variability is, you know, that, as far as appearance, when it's small, it doesn't really make much of a show.
Mm-hmm.
And it casts a very light shade, and it's really quite hardy. So it does like good drainage, though. We've had some good success with this plant in certain situations, in areas that's well-drained.
Yeah.
And it does have an interesting winter form to it.
Okay.
So for a specimen interest plant that doesn't get too large, and you want something like that, like, say, the birch would do, you mm-hmm. might consider getting the paper bark maple.
Does it need, or does it have to stay a distance away from any other type of plant? It's not like some trees that have to, that, you know, I need to keep it away from other certain varieties.
Not really, no. Okay. Good fall color attitude. No, there's no incompatibility.
Okay.
Now, of course, hackberry trees and other maple trees, you might have a bit of a difficulty competing for resources, mm-hmm. especially with hackberry trees.
Well, yeah, hackberries will exploit anything they can get,
so
I think.
So that might be a bit of an issue. There's a different story with things to plant around hackberry trees, but but this is not one. It'll quickly just succumb to this massive root mass of the hackberry tree and just draw all the life out of the poor thing. So anyway, you might consider for a specimen plant in the corner of the house or something that you want some architectural appearance to it. The paper bark maple might be a choice.
Okay. 800-749-5936. We'll take our final break and conclude with more of your phone calls on the other side. Green Country Gardener continues in just a moment.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 series windows and patio doors from the brand trusted by builders and remodelers Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they're our most popular windows and doors. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overly's Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
Check out Four Seasons Ag and Lawn for great deals on Coyote tractors with warranties up to 6 years. Four Seasons Ag and Lawn is Oklahoma's number one Coyote dealership. Get a tractor with a cab for comfort from a 35 horsepower, and it goes on up from there, so the little guy can be comfortable in the summer and winter at Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, awarded the 5-Paw Dealer Excellence Award. Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, 3 miles southwest of Ulaga on 169.
Hi, I'm John Selmeyer. I'd like you to come by and see how we take care of our people here at Four Seasons Ag and Lawn in Ulaga, Oklahoma.
Hey, at our startup, my team and I move at the speed of tech 24/7. And every single day, it's information overload. It's coming at me from all directions. And you know what? Bottom line, I just need the news that matters. So where do I turn? Local radio and TV. I want to hear from people who live and work in my town. They give me the real story with information I know I can rely on. So where else can I find out what's happening in my community? Weather and traffic, things that affect my family and my business. I want to stay informed by sources I trust. My local radio and TV stations. For the best entertainment, sports, news, traffic, and weather, with no agenda and more reliable than other platforms. So if you ask me, for the information I want anytime, anywhere, I stay local. Support your local station. Text RADIO to 52886 today. Furnished by the NAB and this station. Message and data rates may apply. Reply STOP to opt out.
The telephone number to get you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Dave is listening to us on Facebook in Oklahoma City. However you happen to have us on the radio, on the web, or on our app, even on Facebook, we're here to answer your questions this morning. And Larry Glass in from Green Thumb Nursery.
Rolling Stone.
Yeah. Yes.
But anyway. Oh, God, that leads us to Shrub of the Week.
We talked
about a tree of the week, the lace bark, paperbark maple.
Yeah, you have trouble with that one, aren't you?
I know.
Yeah.
And there's so many plants to remember. And Foster Holly is one that I like to talk about. I call it Shrub of the Week, but really this one's kind of a tree. Foster Holly, medium, fine textured upright holly. I like this one. It grows fairly dense. And it seems to thrive about anywhere it's planted, really.
Mm-hmm.
It gets up to 35 feet tall.
Look at that big one.
And a lot of the growers will take the Foster Holly and trim them in this cone-shaped. People like to put cone-shaped plants at the corner of the house or by the front door. But this one gets 35 feet tall.
You better have a tall house to go with that one.
Exactly. And so don't plant this one close to the house because it gets rather large. I like to use this for screening purposes or for backdrop screens. Or even as a specimen interest tree in the yard, it works very well.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you have maybe a smaller yard, you want something of specimen interest that's somewhat large. This one doesn't take up a lot of space. So put it in the ground and just let it go.
Okay.
And in the yard, it'll do a very good job of creating that interest you want in the yard from an evergreen upright standpoint. We have a hard time growing spruce here.
Yes, we do.
And it might be a good... substitute for that, perhaps. It likes somewhat acidic soil, but I found it to be tolerant of a wide variety of soils. It doesn't like clay. However, I've planted some, and I know out east of town, there's a house I planted some away from the house in the corner. It's thriving in the clay without any water.
Wow.
It has no supplemental watering at all.
Uh-huh.
The guy said, I don't want to water this stuff. I just want to plant it and basically forget it. And the Foster Hollies have done very well. I think we're going to try to maybe move them this winter sometime. Get the bobcat out there. Yeah. This is like 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And because of the clay soil, they won't develop a deep root system. So we do a fairly large cut around it with some good sharp shovels.
Mm-hmm.
And then try to lift it up and relocate it somewhere. Because it can be done. We've done this before with... holly plants.
Well, if you're not losing, a large percentage of the root, you're going to have a better chance. But
sure.
Yeah.
And then we'll put something else in its place that doesn't get so large. Perhaps maybe a willow leaf or needlepoint holly.
Okay.
That doesn't get but 8 feet tall.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Foster Holly is, like I said, extremely easy to grow. It can adapt to any soil type and pH of 5.5 to 6. This is a big show in the winter by being covered with lots of red berries. The leaf shape is unusual for hollies. It looks more like a foot, somewhat long and narrow.
Okay.
With flexible spines on the end. And that the texture of this is good to use, close to the house. It's another reason why people like it, because it's very dense and it has a little fine texture. And because of that, it's favored for those conditions. But you want to plant this 10 feet away from the house.
Give it plenty of room.
Yeah, plenty of room. It's going to look odd at first, but in 10 years, you're going to say, man, I'm glad I didn't do that. I didn't have to move it.
How deep a green is the leaf on this one? Holly's, I think, generally some pretty green, deep leaf, but there's not always.
This one has a deep green color.
Okay.
A deep green color and very dense branching. And, because of that, it's a favored plant for that situation. So... put it out maybe where it can be used as screening or just a specimen interest. It'll do just fine. And save the small stuff close to the house.
Sounds like
a plan. Unless you got a big bed and then there's room for it. If you got a real big house, this will be a good accent corner plant away from the house somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe associate other plants around it to tie it in a little bit closer to the house. So it'll do fine.
Okay.
So Foster Holly, good plant to have.
Sound like a plan.
Okay, house plants.
Yes, we have time.
Touch on that briefly.
Okay.
Winter is a slow time for houseplants. Don't try to encourage them. The days are getting a little bit longer. So you probably see a little spark of growth now and then on some of your houseplants pretty soon.
Yep.
And when that happens, start watering them a little heavier. But no, don't let them sit in water.
No. No.
That's wrong. That'll wipe them out. And you might consider light fertilization as this month progresses. Maybe not right now, but a little bit later. We gain 2 minutes a day.
Yep.
So... as we get more light available, you can start to encourage some growth and get them ready to transition to the outdoor environment with some good new growth on it and everything else. So water sparingly or fertilize lightly. And one fertilizer I like to use around houseplants is Osmocote, because it administers fertilizer at a very slow rate every time it's watered.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to worry about forgetting. You just have to remember to reapply it.
About once every three or four months.
Exactly. So we've got some new annuals coming up this year, and some interesting stuff too coming up. And an old-fashioned one I really like is the Vivulus.
Okay.
Very attractive.
You puzzled me on that one. Okay.
They have very attractive sky blue flowers with a slight white center, and leaves are kind of hairy, little kind of long-shaped leaves. And they maintain themselves very well throughout the summer. These are really good basket plants, hanging basket plants, the Vivulus are. They're the ones that will survive a summer in a hanging basket.
Okay.
We'll have a lot of these coming up, too, when the time comes. But it's one you might want to consider asking about and getting, because it is a very easy to grow plant. It makes good good plants for pots, things, too. And it makes a good low border plant, too, in the annual bed.
Okay.
So it could be planted outside as well as in a pot or something. But people associate it with potted plants, but they do very well in the garden, too. And we'll have those in 4-inch pots in the spring when the time comes, too, to plant out in the garden. So a low-growing annual with some blue flowers, which is kind of hard to come by.
Yeah.
The Vivulus is one you might want to consider. Vivulus glomeratus. So it's a good plant to have around the house. And we're doing pretty good on time. At the nursery right now, we have a good selection of house plants. We've got a lot of gift items for the garden. A lot of yard art, if you will.
Yes.
We got lots of happy frog. We've got a big demand for happy frog. Somebody came in and bought a whole pallet this week of happy frog. So
It worked well.
Man, we've got probably the best price around on it, too. So I've done some comparative shopping, and we're right up there on the low end of scale as far as cost of this product is concerned.
We're worthwhile to drive in from wherever the listeners happen to be listening this morning.
Check out the Happy Frog, and Charlie, by all means, anytime you do something, make sure you have a good sharp shovel. We'll see you next week.
That's Green Country Gardener on your Saturday morning.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall. This is KWON Bartlesville and K227CQ Bartlesville.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Serta Mattress.
I'm Peter King. A Democratic House Intelligence Committee memo on the FBI and the Russia investigation will stay classified for now. Correspondent Sam Litzinger.
President Trump has already released a Republican memo on the Russia probe, but now citing security concerns, he won't declassify a Democratic memo unless it's revised. The White House counsel is encouraging the House Intelligence Committee to work with the Justice Department on that. The memo drafted by the Democrats is an effort to counter Republican allegations that the FBI abused its surveillance powers in the ongoing investigation.
In a tweet this morning, Mr. Trump calls the memo very political and says the Democrats knew it would have to be heavily redacted. He says he's told them to redo it and, quote, send back in proper form. Rachel Brand is the third-ranking Justice Department official, but she's leaving after just 9 months to take Walmart's top legal job. CBS News senior legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
The big question now is whether she was pushed or left on her own, because she knows there is a big storm coming at the Justice Department once the special counsel, Robert Mueller, completes his report on the Trump team's Russia ties. Any way you look at it, though, it is not good news for those who hope the Justice Department can maintain some measure of independence from the White House.
Women's advocates were apoplectic after the president praised and defended former top aide Rob Porter without mentioning the two wives who accused him of domestic abuse.
He also, as you probably know, he says he's innocent. And I think you have to remember that. He said very strongly yesterday that he's innocent.
Porter quit after the allegations went public, and now says CBS's Errol Barnett.
Last night, a second White House aide resigned amid spousal abuse allegations of his own. Speechwriter David Sorensen, who denies the allegations, resigned on Friday. A White House official tells CBS News that Sorensen's position did not require a security clearance.
Among other things, his ex says Sorensen put out a cigarette on her hand and threw her against a wall. Olympic diplomacy now includes an invitation from North Korea's leader to the South, CBS's Don Kirk in Seoul.
North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is inviting South Korea's President Moon Jae-in to Pyongyang. Kim's younger sister, Kim Yo-jong, extended the invitation to Moon in a letter stating her brother's desire to improve North-South relations. The summit, if it happens, would be the third between leaders of North and South Korea, the first in nearly 11 years.
Driving around much of the Midwest is no fun today. CBS's Dean Reynolds.
As the snow piled up, so did the cars and trucks on Interstate 94 east of Kalamazoo, Michigan. A chain reaction crash involving more than 50 vehicles shut the highway down for hours. While no one was seriously hurt, there were some close calls.
This is CBS News.
Now is the best time of year to wrap up in Serta Comfort. Wrap up in comfort today with Serta Eye Comfort. Find a retailer at SertaRetailers.com.
Do you owe the IRS more than $10,000 in taxes? The government now has tax debt relief programs in place, and you have rights. Call Tax Representation today. Join satisfied clients like Victoria.
I owe the IRS $32,000. They accepted $300.
She saved $31,700. Leroy owed $21,000.
The IRS accepted $500, and I saved $20,500.
Results may vary, but tax representation can help you. Has the IRS threatened to freeze your bank accounts, take your home, your cars, and garnish your wage? You don't have to fear the IRS any longer if you call Tax Representation. We are the industry experts with negotiating with the IRS, and one of the very few that has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. We'll contact the IRS the same day, putting a stop to bank levies and wage garnishments. Call the Tax Representation hotline at 800-295-1046. Call 800-295-1046 today. That's 800-295-1046.